You ready to study for the Daniels? Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and start. The book of Daniel is one of the most intriguing books when it comes to prophecy. And it's not easy to understand because there's a lot of symbols and it seems like it does not flow the way normal Western mind would think. With the Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, we can completely submerge into the end-time prophecy, also known as eschatology. It's doubtful that any other Old Testament character holding the place as important as Daniel when it comes to the history of the Israel. You may say, well, Abraham, Moses was important, but I said in the history of Israel, covering many centuries, Daniel stands foremost. He's taken out of his homeland, Judah, at his young age, somewhere, some people say 13 through 17. I'm guessing that somewhere around 15 years of age. He was made to be eunuch by his captor, and we will talk more about that one. Babylonians not only tried to erase his identity, his name and homeland, his past and his life, and also they tried very hard to make him to be carnal as they are. The idea was completely brainwashing this man, godly man, into the heathen like they were. But Daniel shined himself in by the power of God, and he is the one who wrote this book to enlighten us to the future events that is going to happen. Let's talk about the authorship and the timeline of this book. Who wrote this book? Daniel. A lot of people talk different way, but I do believe it's Daniel himself. He mostly speaks as a third person. That's a common thing during that time, and even though they write their own biography, they write as a third person. Exception of in the book of Daniel, chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, he said, used the format called I, Daniel. Enough, even though the book of Daniel was written around 536 B.C., authorship and the dating of this book has been challenged in many different ways. What am I talking about? Because the prophecies that he mentioned throughout his book, it is so accurate, so precise, and it was way beyond anyone's imagination. So the liberal biblical scholars, they said, well, it's not really written in 536 B.C., but it was more likely written in somewhere around 170 B.C. during the time of Antiochus Epiphany. So everything happened, then they wrote a book. Then that's not prophecy. That's talking about past. Because it is so accurate, they are having a hard time dealing with this accuracy. However, that argument really does not fly. Why? Because there is a called the Septuagint. Septuagint is an Old Testament, not in Hebrew. Old Testament, as you know, is mostly written in Hebrew. This particular book is written in Greek. It's a Greek translation of the Old Testament that is written somewhere around 300 B.C. Their argument was 170 B.C. that the people wrote this book. However, 300 B.C. was way before Antiochus Epiphany was alive. So their argument does not fly at all. I don't see anywhere in the book of Daniel shows that physical appearance or physical strength about Daniel himself. However, we cannot redeem him, we cannot consider that he is any less character or less hero because he does not have a battle scar. This man, when it comes to courage, is second to none. From the beginning to the end of his life, he kept integrity, honesty, most of all, God in his mind. In the midst of all the liberal surrounding and carnal surrounding, he kept the truth of God in his heart. We can divide the book of Daniel in two sections out of 12 chapters, divided right in the middle. From chapter 1 through chapter 6, it talks about mostly his own biography, and also he is the one who is interpreting the dreams of king. From chapter 7 through chapter 12, now we are finding the prophecies, and the angel is an angel, or the angels are interpreting the dream that Daniel had. Daniel is, the book of Daniel is the kind of Old Testament equivalent to what the Revelation in the New Testament. Difference is Old Daniel is mostly written for the Gentiles and the prophecy. And the New Revelation is written for mainly for the Jews. And Revelation briefly touch up the creation, briefly touch up the birth of Jesus, and mostly from rapture to the end of the eternal life. There's not just the millennium and after so on. But the book of Daniel starts from the 606 BC where they were being captured and taken to the Babylonian kingdom. And all the way back to, all the way to the, in the future of Lord's reign and eternal life. The book of Daniel, as I said, is for mainly for the Gentiles for the and the prophecy to go with. Why do I say the Gentile? Because you will see the many other different kingdoms that is mentioned in the book of Daniel. So we will start at the verse 1 and chapter 1. We will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, it is easy for us to think that this is a hard book to understand and neglect, but your word is full of prophecy. We are not here to seek the prophecy as a prophecy seeker or trying to find out a little bit about the future, but we want to know your heart. Where are you guiding us? Not to satisfy our own things, but seeking your will. Now, as your word in Numbers says, let us know the number of our days, then we may live according to your way. So, Lord, open our heart, open our wisdom, give us the wisdom to receive your guidance. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's title of the study is A Purpose in One's Heart. Purpose in one's heart. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave the Jehoiakim, king of Judah, has nothing to do with the Jehoiakim, we are not related. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, and to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and literature of Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that they, at the end of the time, they might serve before the king. Now, from the among those who among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuch gave names. He gave them Daniel, named Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. When the Pharaoh of Egypt invaded Babylon, I'll just put this map on the screen so you can see better. When they invaded Babylon, this is quite a conquest they tried. As you can see, this is the land of Egypt. Here's the Great Sea, also known as Mediterranean Sea. And there's a Red Sea going, a small one. It's rather hard to see it. And here's a big land. This is Iraq, current Iraq. This is Saudi Arabia. And here's Israel. They were traveling from here to the Babylon here. This is the kingdom of Babylonia. And they were invaded this way. And young prince named Nebuchadnezzar fought back, and they defeated him from the Carchemish, and they defeated him and chasing them back all the way down to Sinai, right here. And while they're coming down, guess where they have to travel through? Israel. At that time, Israel was ally, they were loyal to the Pharaoh of Egypt. Since they are the Pharaoh's ally or the loyal to them, King Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't just pass by and walk away. He wanted to give them a lesson and teach them a lesson. So they invade Israel in 605 BC and destroyed a lot of places and took away the people. According to Josephus, a historian, a Jewish historian, he took about 8,000 to 15,000 people deported to the Babylonian kingdom. What is the main reason for this many deportation? Mainly for slavery. And also, this is not the first time they eventually invaded us for three times, and each time they invade, they destroyed more and more, and they also took the articles of the house of God into their temple, idol temple. Invaders did whatever they pleased, and some of the people they took are gifted people and they are descendants of noble people, and those who are the without blemish, good-looking people, smart people. And they took them to this Babylonian kingdom to teach them their pagan culture and language and whatever is necessary to remove their idolatry as Jewish people, but convert them to the pagan ideology. Not only they tried to convert them into the new religion, also they give them new names. And young child could not, at that time, probably 12, 13 years old, or maybe up to 18 years old, if they are not grounded in the Word of God, they wouldn't survive in the kingdom of Babylonian. However, the four people they chose, Daniel, Hananiah, and Meshach, and Azariah, were different. It's like raising our children according to God's way and send them to the ultimate liberal college, Berkeley, in California. You know what Berkeley is like? They have a dormitory that is co-ed. They just live all together in one room after another. If that's not bad enough, they have a shower room that is co-ed. Yes, you don't want to send your daughter to them. It's kind of like that. We might say, what is the big deal about eating the food from the king's table? I'm sure the food from the king's table is excellent. About inch thick T-bone steak with the lobster butter just running over, and juicy pork chops, and you name it. I'm sure they had good food. However, the problem with those food, it was been dedicated to their pagan idols. So when they eat this food, it's the same thing as, okay, I acknowledge pagan idol. That's why these people chose not to participate in eating this meal. If that's not bad enough, taking the boys away from this family, his family, also they tried to erase their identity, their names. also, again, the Josephus, the Jewish historian, says that they made him to be eunuch. Castrated. In other words, that's why we don't see the Daniel's wife name was mentioned. He never been married. There's a few names that we have to keep in mind is Daniel's name has been changed. Originally, it was Daniel means God is my judge. They changed to Belteshazzar. That means Bel is their main God's name and Bel's prince. And Hananiah was known as beloved by the Lord, and Shadrach means illuminated by the sun God. Mishael is who is as God. And Meshach is who is like Venus, their own another idol god, the star god. Azariah, the Lord is my help. Great name to have. Abednego is son of the servant of Nego. It's another idol they have. So they're changing all the names according to their ways, and not only they changed their childhood, the homeland and family and religious background and also manhood. Completely changing from the godly lifestyle to the sensual carnal lifestyle. Let's continue in verse 8. But Daniel, on the line, next four words, please. Purpose in his heart. Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of a king's delicacy. As a matter of fact, underline the whole phrase, that portion, please. Purposed in his heart, he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord king, who has appointed you your food and drink. For why should he see your face and looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. In other words, his head is going to be separated from the shoulder. So Daniel said to the steward in whom the chief priest the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Let them give us the vegetable to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy as you see fit. So deal with your servant. So he consented with them in this manner and test them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their future appeared better and fatter in flesh than all young men who ate a portion of a king's delicacy. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacy and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. I think it's so important for every one of us to have a purpose in our heart. Not to defile our standard, our truth, God's truth, for the sake of convenience. And it's easy for us to kind of compromise. Undoubtedly, the King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to communicate to these young people, if you need anything, look at me, look to me. But these people who are as a captive, instead of looking at the King Nebuchadnezzar for their needs, guess what they did? They looked to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, God Himself. They tried to brainwash, they tried to indoctrinate what they're thinking, but they are changed. They were steadfast in the truth of God. Integrity is a kind of forgotten word nowadays. Especially people in Washington, D.C., those politicians going from the White House to the Congress and the Supreme Court and the Federal Court. the word integrity is kind of disappeared. They should be the one who keep the integrity and honesty be upheld in their lives, but they ignore it. In the private chamber of his heart, Daniel put the wall up so nobody can come in with a different idea other than God's way. Some of you might be compromising right now. I don't know what kind of life you have. You might smell good and like a godly man, and you may talk right, you may act right as a godly person. I'm going to share with you very disturbing news that I heard last Friday. One of my dear friends, another Calvary Chapel pastor, senior pastor of the big church, compromised his standard. Emotionally involved with a woman who he's not married to. He has over 2,000 congregation church. Now he is unemployed. You may say, well, that's a pastor. No, it's not just pastor. When you compromise your standards, the things you learn from the Word of God, we bring disgrace to the name of God. So are you compromising? When I heard that, because he's a dear friend of mine, it hit me like a ton of brick. And he's the one, I asked him, keep me accountable. And he sent out the letter, which I read this morning, and I kept it just as a reminder. When he was pointed out, when he was warned, he scoffed at it because his pride. When the test comes, folks, listen carefully. This is kind of like an incubator. This is where you come to be fed. We all act godly in this church, in the church setting. But once the real tests start at when you walk out this door, when you're all alone, when nobody's around. Temptation without opportunity is like a bee without a sting. What do you do? When you go to work, do you flirt? Or do you flirt with your neighbor? Or do you compromise your standard ethically, morally? As your pastor, I have no idea what you're doing. I only see what you want me to see. But God, who knows all thoughts, knows you and pointed the wrong things in your heart. Do not ignore. Let me repeat one more time. Do not ignore it. When you ignore it, you will, I guarantee you, by the Word of God, by the authority that given through the Word of God, you will face consequences. I cannot overemphasize, nobody is immune. Within a year and a half, I lost two pastors from their positions. They know the Word of God far better than I do. All I can say is, Lord, if you see me doing that, kill me now. I don't want to live one moment to disgrace his name. Having made this kind of decision, Daniel approached to his superior with a tactfulness and a wisdom. Would God kill Daniel if he had a portion of a T-bone steak? No. But to Daniel, that is a compromise. So he was willing to become a vegetarian for how long? Probably all of his life. He didn't eat anything that dedicated to the pagan king. And because of his dedication, God gave grace to his own enemies. Let's go to, keep your finger right there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Put this in your heart, please. When a man's way pleases the Lord, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God will never abandon us when we stand up for him. When we are obedient to him, even the circumstance may not change and it may not become the way we want it, he is with us and we withdraw the strength from him. Since I'm going into town, let me say this. I was talking over the internet, over emails with the other pastors. I said this. When people compromise their standard, this truth. And those pastors come to the pastors' conference and listen to what the pastor said to us. And other pastors, other speakers speak to us. And they walk out the door without being convicted because their heart is so callous. On the way out the door, on the way out the gate, they pick up the cell phone and calling their girlfriends. Can you believe that? It's insanity, isn't it? When the people's heart is so callous. You know what I said before? Devil does not make us to disregard God. But he just makes us to simply forget God. If you think you're forgetting God, if you think you can say, oh, it's okay with me, God understands. No, he does not. Take it into your heart. Verse 17. And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of eunuchs brought them before the Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Sounds like a happy ending, but there's a far more to come. Let's not forget, God is in control all the time. As parents and as grandparents, let us display, let us show God's truth, God's way to our children and grandchildren. Not just bring them the Word of God to them, let's model the truth. Let's model the truth. I have 2 applications for you guys. Number 1, inner conviction for God can overcome any outer pressure to compromise. Inner conviction for God can overcome any outer pressure to compromise. Greater is that is in me than he that is in the world. If God is for us, who can be against us? Don't think that what you have is not enough. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need, everything I need. Second application, God-honoring conviction yield God-given reward. God-honoring conviction yields God-given reward. That reward may not be seen on this world. And some people might say, you are so rigid, so narrow, not compromising. Say, thank you, and walk away. But God is pleased. Do what is right in the sight of God more than anything else. That means watching our mouth, watching our language, watching our behavior, watching what we do. Let's stand up and pray.